Everybody, welcome to the press. Good to have you here this week. I'm Ryan Balaji. Today we're going to talk about the opening lines for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, talk a little bit about the format change for the event, what we have as a signature tournament, what it's like in past years, and we'll just kind of go over some first clicks, first impressions for the week. We didn't do any shows last week. I was at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, which is a big industry trade show. Working on stuff for Golf News Net. We're working on launching a 24/7 streaming TV channel that'll be on different streaming services. It's going to start in about six-ish weeks, so we're doing some meetings around that and just kind of talking to industry friends and networking a little bit. So we didn't have an opportunity to do a show at all that would have sounded coherent or informed, so just skipped last week, just did the picks on the website. This week, we're back with a full slate. On Tuesday, tomorrow, we will talk about the model that we do each week. Talk about that for this week. It'll be interesting because obviously we've had four triple-digit winners so far on the PGA Tour this season. Matthew Pavon won last week as a guy who has in his 11th PGA Tour start and, what, third as a member. And he played great in the short term, played very well at the Sony Open. So there might have been a sign that this was coming, but modeling's very hard to capture that. Same thing with the Nick Dunlap. Doesn't have much of a battery of professional tournaments. Grayson Murray really had a battery of professional tournaments on the PGA Tour, but then lost his card and wound up going back to the Korn Ferry Tour. Well, that's not part of any database that any normal person would consider in their model. So that was unlikely. So this week, we've got 80 players in the field. Most of them have played well in the last 12 months, certainly in the last few weeks, if you're taking the winners of the PGA Tour events this season. And that'll all factor into the model. So it should be a little bit more difficult, should be, for a super long shot to win. That said, we will consider players like that here in the kind of opening lines, first clicks version of this week's show. And then on Wednesday, we will talk about the Bahrain Championship on the DP World Tour. And presumably, we will know who's playing LIV Golf this year by then. And we can talk a little bit about their first event at Mayakoba, which is supposed to be this weekend as well. But frankly, we don't know even how many players are playing. We don't know what their teams look like, and we don't have a final list. So until we have that in hand, we really can't talk about it. You would presume that we would have that by Wednesday. That seems fair to say, but what the hell do I know? I mean, at this point, it's been so weird the last couple of years that maybe it won't work out that way. And just in case you were curious, there are no lines available for that tournament yet because they don't know who the field's going to be either. So let's start with what we know from this week, which we have the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. They have changed the format of this tournament. So historically, this tournament has featured 156 professionals, 156 amateurs on a three-course rotation. So you would have Pebble Beach, you'd have Spyglass Hill, and for the last decade-ish when they had this tournament, the COVID year where they didn't with the Pro-Am piece, but Monterey Peninsula Country Club. And Monterey Peninsula kind of become the easiest course. So that was the place you had to really go low. Spyglass Hill can be kind of hard. It can be a penal course. And then Pebble's kind of in between. Well, now they have changed that. The Pro-Am component isn't 3 days. It's two. And there are 80 players in the field with 80 amateurs. So they will each get around each of the teams. So there'll be a Pro-Am team for the two rounds. Though each team will get a round on Pebble Beach and a round on Spyglass Hill. So there'll be 40 teams on those courses each day, and they play as foursomes, because for honesty's sake. So you have 20 foursomes, and or 160 players, you have 40 foursomes, right? Jeez, that's terrible math, but yes. So 20 foursomes on each course each day. And they will play that event out, so you'll have your separate scoring component, your 18-hole rounds for the pros count to their total tournament score. There is no cut. And then the Pro-Am competition is a better ball net of the Pro and the Am. Combine all that up. The Pro-Am event will be scored separately. They'll play it over 36 holes. If there's a tie, they'll do a scorecard playoff to determine the winner. Get to the weekend, the Ams are gone. So there's no third hole with the Ams anymore. So what you used to watch on TV, if you watched it, third round would be unwatchable because it was just Ams. Well, now it's only pros. So there will be 80 pros or whoever WDs that's left. They play the weekend only at Pebble Beach. 72-hole score low wins, usual tournament type stuff. So those longer rounds that used to be 5.5, 6 hours are probably going to be slightly shorter, which I think is something you need to account for in this tournament, because historically you need to be a player who had a lot of patience and could kind of yuck it up a little bit with their amateur partner and be willing to deal with super slow rounds. That's not really the case here. You're going to have fewer players. It's just going to be smoother, I think. So you got that piece of it. In your handicapping, you also have to account for the fact that a lot of players who are competing this week have not historically played this event. In the last 5 to 10 years, really since Tiger and Phil had their showdown like 2012. I think that's when it was. I think Phil won that day. But since they kind of had that showdown, the field has gone down in quality, not precipitously, but it's not nearly been as good. They've usually had anywhere from 10 to 13 top 50 players. Well, this week we've got 42 or 43, depending on what Tyrrell Hatton decides to do. Sounds like he's going to live, but he's there right now, at least in the field. So this is the deepest field of the year so far. I mean, you're going to get 65 points probably to the winner of the event this week. It's a lot. So the quality differs, but those players don't know to play these two courses. So we'll talk about them here now. Pebble Beach Golf Links is short. It's under 7,000 yards. The golf course has some pretty tight landing areas and spots. So getting the ball off the tee does count to a degree. But really the most important piece of this is your iron play. And I think putting plays a bigger role here than most other PGA Tour events, because the targets are small. The greens at Pebble Beach are very small. So if you're hitting greens, now you've got to make putts. So you've got to be firing darts in there. You're going to be as aggressive as you can because there's nowhere safe to miss. And if you are hitting lasers in there, you got to make your putts. So we are probably looking at 20 under that wins this week, 18 to 20 under. Unless the wind blows, then we start to see some different worse scores. But I think that's got to be your baseline case, 18 to 20 under wins. These guys are going to light it up. Spyglass Hill is a little bit more difficult, but you only have one round there. It's more of a what they call the dark ages of golf course architecture. Small landing areas, lots of just kind of up and back holes. Targets are a little bit bigger. Scoring's a little bit tougher. So if you shot around a 68, 69 on Spyglass, you probably did okay. That's probably your baseline there. Versus a Pebble, you probably need to shoot 67, 66 to feel pretty okay with yourself each day to have a chance to win. Spyglass is a little bit longer, but both of them are going to play a par 72. So there's going to be plenty of chances to score. That all said, let's take a look at the top of the table where we will work our way down here. So Rory McIlroy is the favorite, 7.5 to 1, 15 to 2, depending on how you want to state it. If you're looking at top 10s this week, only McIlroy and Scheffler are negative money. They're both minus 110. Scotty Scheffler is 8 to 1 to win. Victor Hovland is 12 to 1. Xander Schauffele and Jordan Spieth are 16 to 1. Patrick Cantlay and Max Homa are 18 to 1. Justin Thomas is 22 to 1, along with Colin Morikawa. Ludwig Åberg is 25 to 1. Tony Finau is 28 to 1. Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns, Sungjae Im, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jason Day, Cameron Young are all 35 to 1. Tom Kim and Nikolai Højgaard are 40. Ben On, 45. And then we start to get into the 50s and go down the board a little bit. We'll talk about them in a minute. First impressions of top of the table, right? Most of the weeks, I'm thinking about picking guys to win the tournament. That's what we tend to talk about here, because that's why I tend to like to bet. I think it's more fun for me. I'm not wagering life-changing money on these tournaments. You know, for me, a unit is $50. Not wagering hundreds. And I don't usually make a lot of full unit plays beyond guys that are 20 to 1 or less. Just don't. That's not the way it is for me. But for people who want to bet 10s and 20s, derivative weeks kind of stink for you. or signature events stink for derivative players, right? If you're looking at the top 20, you go down to Colin Morikawa, who is eighth on the list. He's negative money. Your first even money guy is Justin Thomas, who's also 22-1. And then Ludwig Aubert is plus 105. The benefit of this is you're going to get a guaranteed four rounds. The downside is you're betting this kind of thing, everyone else gets four rounds. And weird things can happen on Saturdays and Sundays when you're out of it. Kind of those backdoor top 5, top 10, top 20s become a whole lot more possible if you're 10, 12 back going into the weekend. You have nothing to lose. You get a free paycheck. You can only move up kind of thing. I would expect to see some surprise top 20s here. So if you want to think about those, sure. But know that you got to get to like 22-1 in the outright side before you have a chance to make positive, you know, the plus money here. Back to the tournament winner thing, though. For everybody under 50. McIlroy's been great on the DP World Tour. Plays well in Dubai. Those are both golf courses where his driver really works well for him. It will work well for him at Spyglass, but he kind of loses a little bit of it, of the value of it, at Pebble Beach. And with the smaller greens and him being a little bit more erratic of an iron player, particularly with the short irons, I don't love his chances this week. I'm not saying he can't play well or won't play well, but the value is not there. Scottie Scheffler, same thing. Hits the crap out of the ball off the tee. Good iron player. Tremendous iron player. Poor putter. Better putter than he's been. And we don't have enough data, I think, about that to tell us whether that's kind of fixed. But it seems to be getting better. So if he plays Scottie Scheffler brand of golf from tee to green and just has that positive uptick, whether that's variance or a permanent change in his putting, I think he's the better option of these two. Victor Hovland played well here in 2019 at the U.S. Open. Different setup, most likely a different setup because we've got the AMs, and he played well as an amateur then. I could take some solace in that. I can get behind him at 12-1. If you're playing to win, look at your 16s. I would take Jordan Spieth. He's had success here better than what Xander Schauffele can say. Patrick Cantlay has played well here, but he's played terribly the last 2 weeks, finishing the 50s both tournaments. If you want to look in the 18s, I'd look at Max Homa, who's a good track record here, has won most of his PGA Tour events in California, and had a good title defense last week, T13, at the Farmers Insurance Open. So if you're thinking about the sub-20 guys, I would look at Homa, Spieth, and probably Scheffler, if you're thinking about in that category. If you refuse to take someone sub-10-1, I would probably look at Max Homa most seriously of these. Even though Spieth has a better overall Pebble record, Spieth is not quite there, I think, in terms of total game. You get to Justin Thomas at 22-1. And I like him and Colin Morikawa here this week. Morikawa was not good last week at Farmers. That course doesn't suit him. I don't even know why he played the event, to be honest with you. But Justin Thomas pulled out of the event because he knew he was into the signature events. Or at least this signature event. He's playing really, really well. And if you play three in a row, typically on the PGA Tour, it doesn't work out for you by the time you get to the third event. So he takes a week off. I like him rested and fresh. He's really confident in his game right now. I like him at 22-1. I'm going to pass on Ludwig. The power game, I just think, does not work extremely well here, given this setup. Now, if it were a U.S. Open setup, you go, hey, Gary Woodland won here. He's a power player. You'd love it. Not so much in this one. Tony Finau interests me. A little bit of 28-1, but not enough to pull the trigger. Tommy Fleetwood interests me at 35-1, but he's never won in this country. But he played very well in Dubai. Sungjae, I think, is playing great golf overall, and I think he will have a very good year. I could like him quite a bit. He has a tremendous short game. He has a good tee to green game. I think that's a pretty good value. Burns, not Bermuda. This is Poa. Poa grass is bumpy and not fun to putt on the later in the day that you get. I think it will get frustrated. I will leave him alone. Matt Fitzpatrick, on the other hand, I am very intrigued by. His price is a little bit down this week because he hasn't played well to start the year. At Sony, he just wasn't really into it. I think he played it to be nice, but that's it. And he didn't play well. I mean, he made the cut, but it was really never part of the story. I think he will like this a whole lot better. He's played well in this tournament in the past. So those guys, 35-1, I'd take him. Even over Jason Day, who's played this tournament historically well, and over Cameron Young, who played well in Dubai, in the Dubai Desert Classic, where he came up just a little bit short against Rory McIlroy. Tom Kim at 40-1 interests me to a degree. Nicolai Højgaard interests me a lot at 40-1. Ben On interests me quite a bit at 45-1. I would like to see his price a little bit longer, but he played so well in the Hawaii event, that's just not going to be possible. So it's probably going to be a pass for me on Ben On, but I think he has a very good chance to win here. So maybe you look at him in the top 10 at plus 400. JT Poston continues to play great, 55-1. I really like him here this week. Hideki Matsuyama is just off the planet bad right now. I don't think you can touch him. Too toxic. Eric Cole, 55-1. This seems like just the kind of place where he would win. Just does. I mean, he's a grinder's grinder. He likes these kind of tighter courses. I could like his chances quite a bit. Bo Hostler has a good track record here. Just seems like a fish out of water at the moment against this kind of depth of competition. But he does have a good course track record. Someone I like a little bit better with a good course track record the last 2 years is Denny McCarthy. He's 60-1. People have already bet him down. I've seen him at 75 at the Open. He's already been bet to 60. He is a good choice here this week. And if you subscribe to the theory that long shots continue to rain, this is probably about as long as you feel comfortable betting in one of these kinds of events. But sure. Defending champion Justin Rose is 70-1. He hasn't been playing the best golf. He's just been playing cut-making golf. But when he won here last year, he was playing that kind of golf. So it can kind of happen out of nowhere, as we've seen so far this year. Keegan Bradley interests me at 70-1. I don't love it, but playing in that cooler kind of golf, I think, appeals to him. So I could get behind him at 70-1. I really do like Brian Harman at 70-1, though. Length doesn't matter on this course. Shorter hitter, that's fine. Play well to start the year in Hawaii. If the wind does blow, I trust his game a whole lot more than a lot of players in this field. He went over and took the money and played in Dubai. Finished 70th in the tournament. So he made the cut, got the appearance fee, just didn't play well because he had played the week prior 2 weeks. So I think you're getting a depressed price on Brian Harman on a course he should love. And he's a great putter. I like him at 70-1. Nick Taylor's interesting at 75-1. Has played this course well over the years. You got, You got Siwoo Kim at 80-1. Ricky Fowler, 80-1. Keith Mitchell, 80-1, I like quite a bit. He's got some unfinished business in this tournament. Remember he complained about, who was it, Aaron Rodgers' handicap a couple years ago, playing in the Pro-Am. Maybe it was even last year. I think he's got a little unfinished business here. Sepp Straka at 90-1. I think he's going to have a huge year. I just don't know if this is the kind of golf course for him. But if they do have a deeper, rough setup, he has won in courses where it's a little bit penal off the tee. So kind of depends on setup. But I could buy into Sepp at 90-1. Steven Yeager almost did it, man. Almost got there. I've been saying he's trending toward it. I just can't bet the guy because he's never won. He almost did it last week. Nick Dunlap is 100-1. To win in his first start as a professional. That, to me, is insane. That is a sucker's bet. Now, if you want to bet on him to finish top 10 and 8-1, by all means, have at it. But please don't bet him to win. I'd rather just be proven wrong. Tom Hoge has a good course record here. Has won this tournament. It's his only PGA Tour win. And that was in the format that's more like this. With two courses. So, maybe you go after Tom Hoge here. I would strongly consider that. Getting down the board a little bit, I really want to bet Tom Dietrich. I love Tom Dietrich, and I think he's going to do this year, but he hasn't yet. Matt McNeely interests me quite a bit at 130-1. He has a good track record in this tournament. So if you're looking for somebody to pull it out of the dirt out of nowhere as a deeper shot to kind of continue this weird trend we're on, I think he's probably a better bet than Dietrich, 130-1 to interest me. And then you start to get the guys who are just happy to be here. Mark Hubbard plays Pebble Beach well. He proposed to his wife here. He has good vibes here. Not saying he's going to win this event, but if you're going to think about guys that are super long, there's one of them. Peter Malnati made a lot of fans for himself last year at this tournament. 500-1. He's the last guy in the field. Maybe you don't want to bet him at 500-1. Maybe you want a top 10 on him at 28-1. He does like this golf course. This is a weird week because you're trying to figure out how this tournament's going to play differently with two courses and 80 pros instead of three courses and 156 pros. Pro-Am format, two rounds versus three rounds. You know, it's different. Those things matter. And you got to factor in weather. And then you got to factor in the lack of experience most of these players have at this golf course or these two golf courses. So it will be a tough week to handicap. That all said, I still think you're going to see quality at the top. It's just going to be harder to kind of map all of that out. So we will try to do our best with the model tomorrow. Again, recognizing, let's look at short-term form too. We'll talk about that. We will talk about horses for courses, knowing full well that a lot of these horses haven't been on this course. And then we'll try to sort out what at least Pebble Beach looks at in terms of how you break down strokes gained, where high finishers gain the strokes, and what skill sets most needed to do well on this golf course. And like I said, we'll get to Wednesday. We'll talk about LIV, presumably with a roster. Hey, by the way, just in case you were curious, Tyrrell Hatton was in the field for this tournament. He is not listed in the field list here, at least that I saw, at least that I just went over here. So I think the presumption is he's out the door. Betting market's going to tell you something, even though I don't think that's been announced as we're recording this yet. It probably will later in the afternoon, but that hasn't been announced yet. So presumably Hatton's out of here. Sorry about that. So maybe we'll talk about him on Wednesday instead. All right. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I appreciate it. If you don't subscribe to the show, but you do listen to it, please consider subscribing. Helps us reach more people. And join Golf News Net for $40 a year. Great deals, lots of great tools. We revamped the landing page for our golf betting content, so it's easier to access everything. I think it's a much better looking product. So you can check that out at golfnewsnet.com. Again, $40 for the year, $10 for a week if you just want to do it for 1 week, which, hey, that's up to you, but $10 for a week. And shoot me a note, like I said, email Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky. I am at Ryan Ballingy, and I'm at Ryan Ballingy Golf on Facebook and YouTube. Back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening to The Press.